In Play with Pragmatic, made possible by Horton in Britain, a worldwide supplier of engine cooling systems and proud member of the community for more than four decades. HortonWW.com. Welcome to another edition of In Play. I'm Craig Maddock. Our guest today has devoted 46 years of coaching in South Dakota. He retired in 2017 as the fourth winningest football coach in the state. 261 wins, 101 losses. The retirement didn't last long. He's been an assistant coach since 2018. He's got seven state football titles with two different schools. He's coached basketball and cross country. He's one of the great high school coaches in the state. It's from Hamlin to Yankton to Beersford. It's Arlen Lickness. Arlen, welcome to In Play.
Well, thank you very much.
Hey, congrats to you. You recently inducted into the National High School Athletic Coaches Association Hall of Fame. What does that mean to you, Arlen?
Just that I had a lot of great coaches that helped me along the way. Found a lot of great athletes. You don't get one of those kind of recognitions unless you have a very strong supporting cast. And very fortunate at Hamlin and then at Yankton and even at Beresford to have great coaches that we do what we can and the kids buy in, and hopefully that's success. And more than success, you become the best you can be as a human being and as a player.
Did you have to make a speech at that induction?
No, I didn't. passed on that. And it was neat because Dan Mitchell, who had been I coached with at Yankton for 24 years, was the president of the National. So he got to give me the award, which made it that much more special.
I searched as much as I could trying to find Arlen Lickness athletic records at Britain High School. Sorry, I couldn't find any. Was I looking in the wrong place, Arlen?
No, probably not. Britain is where I graduated high school from. Back in those days, you got to remember, there were no football playoffs. And so basketball was the big thing. And we had a pretty good run during my high school career.
1972. Yeah, you won the title that year.
Yep. And I was a part of that as more the practice squad than as a player. He always cut the 12 at that time. I did not make the cut as far as I got to dress in about five games during the year, but did not get to travel with the varsity to the state tournament, although I got to go, but I didn't dress. And then we came back in 73 and were ranked number one, but ended up fourth in the state tournament. And then in 74, my senior year, we ended up third. So, and it's interesting, in 74, guess who the two teams in South Dakota won the state titles in basketball? Hamlin won it. We got third, and Hamlin won it. And that was with Steve Brown. And then, of course, Yankton won it in 74 with Chad Nelson. And so, and those are the two schools that I ended up going to in my teaching career, which was pretty unique.
Well, I know in 72, Britain beats Wessington in the finals. It was 81-60. Who was the head coach at that time?
John Bruce. It was his first year there. He had came from Hayti, actually, from the Hamlin community to Britain. He changed things up a little bit. Bill Almacher had been the head coach before that and had a lot of kids coming back. And then Bruce went to a little bit more up-tempo, fast-break team. And guess who we opened with that year? We opened with Miller in 72. And we had the lead until about the last 30 seconds, and the Miller press came on, and our best point guard was Leroy Peterson, and he fouled out, and they got to us, and they ended up beating us by three, not knowing that at the end of the year, they would go on to win the A class. At that time, there were two classes. They won the A undefeated, and we won the B, and so that was a pretty big opening game that year.
Britain, by the way, of course, now partnered with Hecla, Britain Hecla. Was Hecla an adversary when you were in high school there at Britain?
We had him on our schedule. We usually did quite well against them, but they had numbers and so forth at that time. Back in junior high, we had good battles with them and actually Frederick at that time, who became part of Hecla back in those days. And so, yeah. But you remember back in those days, our big addition in the early 70s was Kidder, South Dakota. And our All-State center was Danny Yelkin. He came from Kidder. And in my class, there's a guy by the name of Larry Thorsness and John I. Both of those two came from Kidder, and they definitely added to our success in all of our programs.
So were you busy in athletics at Britton, more than just basketball?
Yes, I played football, basketball, track, and baseball.
This is the early 70s, of course. And then you graduate in 74 and off to Northern State there in Aberdeen. What direction were you thinking about when you went off to college?
Really trying to find myself. Luckily, one of my friends and then became my wife, but they suggested I should go to Northern. I thought about going into the military, and my brother-in-law had just gotten back from Vietnam, and he did not suggest that I do that. And so I went to Northern trying to find my way. And I went there probably for the wrong reasons. I wanted to try playing baseball and basketball. I ended up also getting hurt in the spring of the year, hurt my leg in a farming accident, but then realized that maybe I should try education. Went to the education field because I still wanted to do something in sports. And then it came around. The only reason I really went to Northern was Bob Walks came and talked to me when he played around Collie my senior year. He told me I was a little guy. He didn't quite use those words. He called me a little something. But he said, if you can play defense like that, you can play here. And so that was my incentive to go to Northern.
Well, Bob had an influence on a lot of guys to come to Northern and play. Was coaching ever in the back of your mind at that time?
Yes. After I got hurt, it became more prevalent. I actually... when I did my student teaching, I ended up taking the kids that got cut from the two junior highs in Aberdeen, which would have been Simmons Junior High and Holgate Junior High, took those kids that got cut and happened to have the right connections where I got a key to go to Dakota Hall, and we practiced a little bit and then went into the Y tournament. And it was really fun because we ended up playing both those teams in the Y tournament and ended up winning, which then made me feel like, well, maybe I do know what I'm doing. So,
did Bob Walks have any influence on you at all on coaching?
Yes, he did. He did. John Bruce especially did back in Britton. Al Thine was the only coach I had for football. I had him in junior high, and then when I went to high school, he went to high school. He actually suggested that I not play as a freshman. I tried to go in and for football. And he realized that it was pretty warm out and I had a coat on, and he made me take the coat off, and I put some rocks in my pocket to try to weigh 100 pounds, and I didn't weigh 100 pounds. So I ran cross country that year. He told me we had a pretty big team, and he said, I don't think you should, I just don't want to have to worry about it. So I ran cross country and then got a little bigger by the time I was a sophomore. I got up to at least 135 pounds by the time I was a sophomore, so I could play.
Yeah, I think you're barely at that now, Coach. I think you've done well, I think. Your first job, though, out of college is at Hamlin. You know, we're talking, it's 1979. You know, what made Hamlin your choice? Did you have other possible interviews to be a teacher or in athletics after college?
Yes, I actually had a contract from Sully Buttes and one from Wellmont. But my girlfriend at that time was teaching in Watertown, and Hamlin was a lot closer, a lot less driving if I took that. Plus, I really wanted to learn stuff under Wayne Carney for basketball. So those two things made it a good choice if I got the job. And actually, the reason I got the job was because of John Bruce. The principal at Hamlin at the middle school at that time, which where I got employed, was Larry Aho. And he had played for John Bruce in Legion Baseball when John Bruce was in Hayti. And I did not have him down as a letter of recommendation. So he called him, and Coach Bruce gave me a decent recommendation. So he hired me, and the rest of it, I guess, became history.
So you're the assistant coach in both basketball and football. Of course, you know, football didn't have the playoffs yet back in 1979. What did you teach, by the way, at Hamlin?
At Hamlin, for the first 7 years, I was in the junior high, so I had a couple classes of civics and the rest were PE. And then in 86, 87, I think it was 87, I transferred to the high school, and then I taught government, world history, U.S. history, and had a PE class besides. I had a social science major and a physical education major. So
your plate was absolutely full. Plus, being an assistant coach, of course, in the smaller schools, you got to do that, don't you?
Yeah. But I kind of loved it, so it was right up my alley. I was being at the junior high when I first started was really good for me. Having Larry Aho as a principal and administrator was really good for me. It helped me, and along with that, I end up. If you recall, Dana Trum was a starter for Hamlin in '74, and when they won it. He ended up coming and student teaching at Hamlin. Back then you could do that. And I had him as a student teacher, even though he's probably a little bit older than me in the class. We're about the same age, but that was kind of fun. It was all, everything seemed to be on the right. And having Coach Carney as a mentor really helped because I took a lot of stuff from basketball and used it in football to relate to the kids. And that really helped. Plus it didn't hurt that we had some pretty good athletes.
Talked about Wayne Carney, the head basketball coach at Hamlin at the time. Of course, went on to administration at Washington High School and, of course, the South Dakota High School Activities Association. I know you wanted to coach basketball early on. What did Wayne, though, teach you about being a basketball coach?
I think a lot of it was just the consistency and philosophy, knowing what you're doing, the reinforcing defensively how hard you have to work if you're going to be good. And that was kind of right up my alley because in high school, I probably wouldn't have played if it wasn't for defense. My offensive abilities were limited to start out with. I put a lot of time in. Prior to that, in seventh grade, I really had a hard time trying to decide if I should be a wrestler or a basketball player, being I was, you know, I didn't have to cut weight to wrestle 98. I could gain 10 more pounds and still be in the limit. And so, those, all that kind of coming together, but Wayne was just a positive influence. Being in the state tournament consistently, and I just used that. Plus, my the head coach for football that my first year was Vern McKee. He was running the radio station up in Watertown. He'd drive out, and that was also, and he gave me a lot more responsibility. So I started trying to learn a little bit more about football. And that same year, I was also head track coach. So that kept me from too much grass growing under my feet. But I was single, and so I could do a lot. And I lived in Lake Norton, so I loved, we'd call basketball practice over in the, and I had freshmen, sophomores. But then a lot of them would stay around, and we'd scrimmage. And some other guys would come in with, that were around my age, and then we'd play some pickup games and do some, and those guys stayed and played and had fun, and that just re-encouraged everything else.
Yeah, these first few years you're at Hamlin, a lot of excitement. I mean, the boys basketball team is making to the state tournament, and then when the football playoffs started, Hamlin is in the football playoffs. I mean, exciting times for you to gain a lot of information as a coach. Was that something you were constantly working at as trying to become a better coach, whether you were the assistant or not?
Yes, exactly. And then along with that, here's another interesting point. Lake Preston had a very good team back then, and they had beaten us by two. And then going into the tournament, we end up beating them on a last, it ends up being a last second shot, where Tetzloff makes it and gets fouled and goes to the free throw line with no time on the clock and makes it. What's really great about that for us, for me, was it ended up being the exact same score as my senior year when we got to the state tournament, and we stayed in the exact same hotel rooms. I actually stayed in the same room as a senior in high school as I did as a first-year assistant coach in the state tournament.
Eventually, though, I mean, we know you really wanted to be a basketball coach, but when was the transition that football may become your better love to get into that sport?
Well, probably about in about in 89 when we'd been beaten out or been in the semifinals seven previous years since we were there in the fall of 82 and lost in overtime to Wagner.
13-7 was that final, yeah.
Yep, and had a couple turnovers that cost us. And I was not very good offensively as a offensive coordinator at that point, and found an offense in 80, fall of, actually the summer of 89. I went to camp in Sioux Falls with Steve Peter was there and Jim Utek, and they both helped me, and I kind of fell in love with the double wing then, even the unbounced, and put that in 89. And of course, then we had success. Instead of getting beaten in the semis, we ended up getting winning it in 89, you know, 90, 91, and getting back there in 92. And so that's when I really thought, okay, maybe I am a little better football coach than basketball. So, and I started, and people looked at me more as a football coach than as a basketball coach at that time. So, plus, I have a voice that's probably better for outdoors in the open air than in a gym one. My voice is pretty loud, and so it's a lot nicer to be outside where it just goes out into space, and it's not as bad as when you're in a small gym and if you're barking. So I learned to have to control that too.
Arlen, it's the early 80s at Hamlin. And at Hamlin, I heard there were no weights for the training for the football program. And your wife said it was okay for you to go buy weights for the school. Is that true?
This is true. I drove my little love pickup to Canastota. Mike Berg was the shop teacher there and had weights and so forth. And I loaded it up and brought it back. And it was all great because then the school district paid me back a year later when they saw the results. But the thing that probably cost in the long run of that is I took my wife's, some of her teacher retirement and spent it on buying weights. I don't know if that's really paid off in the long run, but it has overall, because we also then bought a video machine. And it was a backpack you'd carry on your back, and I wanted it for football, and then we used it in basketball. And of course, after we did that, that would have been the year that we, in the fall, we got to the state in football, and then in the winter time, we ended up winning the state in basketball in 83. So it did pay off. It just maybe, I probably didn't think it all the way through, but I knew what I wanted at that time and at that moment, and it all paid off.
I think your wife knew what she wanted too. I mean, without her, it probably would have never happened.
This is true. She's been more of an assistant coach in so many ways. It's unbelievable. She stuck with me for over 45 years now, so that's a good thing.
That's great. That is great. At Hamlin, you know, you win 3 straight football titles. You're seeing a lot of success there. You're playing 11B football. You're there for 16 years, over 100 victories while you're there. You know, why was Hamlin so successful in football during that time?
The kids bought into it, the right attitudes. They're competitive. And all of a sudden you have a playoffs, which bought into it more than before that. You just had basketball playoffs or state wrestling, where all of a sudden now you had another team sport that you could. And so that carried over, and they like to win, and they still do. Matter of fact, I think last week, Jeff Sheehan, with his win, I think surpassed me on the number of wins as a football coach there. So congratulations to them and to him on their success as of late.
16 years at Hamlin, things can get fairly comfortable in that time. But you know what? You, at that time then, get hired as an assistant in Yankton. We all know the football program there. The legendary coach Max Hawk, then Jim Miner. So what interested you to leave Hamlin and go to Yankton?
The biggest thing is I had 4 kids at that time. I needed to make a few changes. And Wayne Carney and Carol were leaving. Drew Cronkite was leaving. Bruce Oles were leaving. Doug and Jan, they ended up going to Elk Point Jefferson. And so we decided it was a good time and the right offer. Yankton was very good. by the way, I was there actually at Hamlin 15 years on my, the fall of 94, we were in Yankton. So that put me at 15, but talking with the interview and talking there, they were kind of saying that, you know, Max Sordi announced that he was going to retire, could have a year under Max, which I thought was good for me to keep learning. And my salary increased quite a bit. One of the big keys was we had the identical insurance between Hamlin and Yankton, but at Hamlin, they'd pay for my single and my wife's single because we were both teachers, but we still had to pay a couple hundred dollars for family. Where in Yankton, I was the only one at the start that was teaching, and it cost $48 a month for total family and had the same coverage. And so that was a big plus. Plus, they gave me all 15 years of experience there, which at that time, Yankton's salary was one of the best in the top three for sure in the state. And so that was also another good calling.
You go, though, as an assistant coach. What was the biggest change for you being an assistant in Yankton after being the head coach at Hamlin all those years?
I think the biggest thing is it allowed me to relax and not put so much pressure on myself, contribute where I could, and learn. You had Bob Winter there. You had Max Hawk there. You had Jim Miner there. You had all kinds of people to learn from. When I went to Yankton, I realized real fast my 15 years of experience was not much compared to those guys. I think I figured out between the junior high coaches and the high school coaches, they had almost 150 years of experience. A lot of them with 30-some years of experience at that time. And so I figured, okay, this is a place where I can probably tap some drains and try to learn some things. And so I enjoyed it very much. And the following year, even though I kind of thought I was going to be head, then Jim Miner decided he would like to try it as head. And I really felt he deserved it. He's a great guy, been an assistant for 33 years. And so I had no problem. He allowed me to be the offensive coordinator. And so we went that way. I did not apply for the head job, and it turned out really well. It was a good experience all the way around. I got to call offense, and we communicated and worked well together, the whole coaching staff. And so it was just a really good move for us and for our kids. It allowed them to definitely a lot bigger program, but the fine arts and so forth at Yankton were really good. My wife was a dancer, and our daughters were into dance, and they had two studios here. So overall, it was a very, very good experience for us to come to Yankton.
It always intrigues me with football coaches and their offensive minds. I mean, you're running the offense up at Hamlin, and then you're getting involved with Yankton's offense. I mean, how big of a playbook was there? What the big difference in plays that you had in Hamlin compared to the plays you're doing in Yankton?
I learned quickly when I got to Yankton that Max's playbook was a lot smaller than mine. And so it shrunk a little bit, but it was good to learn why it shrunk and what you could get done with less. And then the next year when I became the offensive coordinator with Miner, you know, Miner let it grow a little bit, but he said, remember, we've only had these many plays in the past, so we're not throwing the whole playbook at them. Pick out those that you think we need. And the other part of that went well is in 94, Max's last year, we went undefeated, won in double overtime against Stevens. They had Peter Martin as their quarterback, and we ended up winning there. And then the next year, we had a lot of kids coming back, and we ended up beating Brandon Valley in the state championship. So we had my first 2 years at Yankton as an assistant. We were 24-0, which also reinforced that I had made the right decision. We were doing the right things.
Well, your first year as head coach at Yankton, you made it to the Dome, right? Was that the year you played O'Gorman? And all the matches between Yankton and O'Gorman in those early years and the football championships, and the Bucks win it 28-23. What was special about that game for you about that year?
Well, on paper, O'Gorman was definitely the better team. Our kids believed in each other. We became a really solid team and executed very well. My biggest thing is when I went to that camp, the plays I ran against O'Gorman that year in 99 for our first three touchdowns were definitely O'Gorman plays, just out of a little different look. And so that I owe part of that to Keeter and Jim for helping me out. But just the growing together as a team and uniting. That year in 99, we lost to Brandon Valley, and I had one player that I was kind of disciplining because he had missed some practices, and that kind of cost us that game because he played a key spot and he was a very good player. But it all turned out at the end because we all gelled together and overcame. We actually played Roosevelt twice that year, and Roosevelt had a very good team. Matter of fact, we had Overton. Was it Ryan? The oldest one was a pretty good player for him, and we had to stop them. In the regular season, we ended up blocking a field goal and winning 13-12. And then in the playoffs, we had to come from behind. And actually, I remember the play. We ran a bootleg pass, and Adam Niffen caught it in the end zone, thrown by Mike Stolz, and we had took the lead. And to get there, we threw the hook and ladder and did a few things that worked pretty well for us. And then all of a sudden, I've been so much into the game, I had not realized how big the crowd was. But all of a sudden, when we caught that touchdown in the end zone, I'm looking, there's people standing all over in the background. That was before you had that restraining fence. And all of a sudden, I look around, I go, holy moly. And I think Hod Nielsen had in the paper, there must have been close to 5,000 people at Crane Youngworth that night. And that's just a special memory of the first year head coach and getting it done. And the first game that season was a fun one, too, because we went up to Watertown and we ran three offensive plays and had 28 points on the board, which was not expected, but it really helped our kids jump onto believing what I was doing, we could be successful.
You would go on to win four state titles at Yankton, including what I think was quite amazing, the back-to-back overtime wins over Brookings and Pierre. That would have been in 2014 and 2015. How much a difference was the Yankton team between those two title teams where you had to go to overtime in the championship back-to-back years and win both of them?
And it was, we feel fortunate and so forth. If you remember, the first overtime game, we lost to Wagner when I first started, but fortunate enough as a head coach, never lost another overtime game, which was nice. And a lot of it wasn't what I did. It was what our kids believed and what the other coaches did. And so we'll take it and run with it. But not only did we beat Pierre in 2014, and that game was special because we had two kids that had moved up as sophomores were both not playing that night, one for disciplinary reasons, the other for an ACL tear. And we came through without those two players and still won a state title. And then what's interesting about the next year is that we ended up when we played on 14, then we turned around and opened up the season with Brookings the next year, and we'd won in overtime. Well, we went five overtimes in Brookings and won that first game. And so the team playing Brookings twice, last game and first game, we actually got a quarter and a half more football playing time between the overtimes. But then in 15, we lost a quarterback right away. Reed Swatsky was really pretty good. And after he had had torn an ACL before from in baseball, basketball in the summer, and then it came back and it tore again. And then we had to look for a quarterback, but we ended up losing three games right in the middle of it. I think we were at the President's Bowl. We got smoked by, Washington. We got beat by Pierre. We got beat by two bigger schools, and they got beat by Pierre, and I knew we had to make some adjustments, so I changed quarterbacks again and went with a junior by the name of Nate Stevenson, and he was very calm and collected and didn't put too much on his plate, but he really managed it well. And then I went to some wildcat formations with the hopes that Pierre didn't pay too much attention to us, and one of them was Tanner Frick, who went to the gun and was a quick little back. And ended up creating a lot of good things with that. And we were on balance part of the time and did some things. And we ended up getting them in overtime after they had beaten us pretty bad during the season. I think they ended up beating us like 36-6 or 8. in the regular season, and then we ended up getting them in overtime, which was really self fulfilling for those kids to understand if you stay and believe and work hard, good things can happen. So it was really a fun 14 and 15 were really fun years. Kids really made a strong commitment, and we worked hard. In 14, we ended up beating Grand Valley in overtime, and I was sick in the hospital. And that was the only game I missed of my when I was a head coach. And then we had played O'Gorman in overtime in 2014. Went undefeated that season, but had some really tight games. Felt really good about it. And then, of course, in 15, then that's when we had came back and had gotten beat three times pretty bad and still came back and won. So the kids were believing in what we were doing, and the execution, we just grew and got better at the end of the season. And so one of those things that you talk about, it's not how you win the state title. It's if you're playing your best football as you can at the end of the year. And we did that in both those seasons, which made it a really fun season and got state titles along the way.
You mentioned the playbook was pretty small with Coach Hawk and Coach Miner. When you became the head coach, did that playbook get a little bit bigger there, Arlen?
If they can take away this, I like to be able to go to something else. But at the same time, you got to have the kids that are at that time. It was a good match at Yankton because the kids were into football. And so they were eating it up, and I could give them a lot of things, and it wasn't too much for them. You can find that if your kids aren't into football as much, you give them if they don't understand what the principles are, what you're trying to do, then it becomes more of a challenge. But with those guys, it was pretty easy and pretty flawless. A lot of people probably wouldn't believe it, but the big plays that went for touchdowns against Washington in 2002, we had put in on Wednesday, Thursday night before the state championship, and they executed them perfectly. Mason Vig was the quarterback for those big plays, and he only threw three completions, but they were for a couple hundred yards. And then Cody Garvey, well, I was rotating quarterbacks, and then Cody Garvey basically managed the rest of the game, short passes and so forth. So it was a good combination.
I know you always had a handful of gadget plays ready to go, Arlen, whether it was the hook and ladder, the halfback pass, Statue of Liberty. You always seem to know when to run that gadget play. Which one's your favorite?
Well, my favorite would have to be the hook and ladder. It's won more games for us than I can count. It's been pretty successful for us. But there's a lot of other things that I like, but those are my bread and butter when you come to critical situations. And if you have the right athletes, you can make them work. So
Crane Youngworth Field is one of the most iconic fields in the state, no doubt about it. I know you've got a few favorite memories with games at Crane Youngworth. You mentioned that Roosevelt playoff game where, by the way, you threw the hook and ladder. Is there another game or two that just still stands out in your mind playing a game at Crane Youngworth?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. When I was an assistant with Miner, I remember we were playing Sturgis in the playoffs, and we were pretty depthy that year. I think that would have been in 95, and they took it down and just marched it right down our throats. And I just remember Miner goes, "What do we do?" And I suggested that we had a kid by the name of Lance Peterson, that we put him in at nose guard, even though he just started on offense. And we put him in at nose guard, and about the next three plays, I think they lost yards. He was just disrupting everything, and just he was after it. And it changed the whole game. We ended up winning. We were down 7-0 and ended up winning 47-7, I think. And so that type of thing. And another big one would have been Brookings, I believe it was 2005. They had just went down and scored to take the lead, and we had a minute something left. And we ran the Max Hawk famous reverse on the kickoff, but we faked it. And we had the two backs back there were Drew Hightop and Tyrell Cool. And I'd brought Tyrell Cool up previously because of his speed for returns. And so faked that Tyrell had the ball, but Drew Hightop kept it. And they all bit that Tyrell had it, and so we ended up scoring a touchdown on that play and took the lead back and ended up winning the game, which was pretty deflating for Brookings, but a heck of a win for us.
2017, you retire as head football coach at Yankton. What was the reason to retire after 261 career wins?
Realistically, it was because of the age. Yankton gave a pretty good bonus if you took early retirement, but you had to declare it before you turned 62. And I was going to turn 62 in the spring of 2018, so 2017-18 season. And I decided I couldn't afford to lose that much money. And so I took it and I guess never looked back. I was willing to get out of the classroom. I still wanted to coach. And so I got lucky. You know, right things happened, so I still was able to keep coaching and still doing it. But that payoff has really helped us out. Even though now Yankton, I think that same year might have changed their policy after that so that you could go till you're 65 and still get the early retirement. But at that time when I applied, you had to retire before 62 in order to get the payout. So that's what we did.
You mentioned at the time that your wife had a large honey-do list for you. You must have got it done pretty quick because it didn't take long for you to come back from retirement.
Well, you shouldn't have brought that up. There's still a lot of honey-do lists that I need to do. But so I didn't quite get done with everything, but we did get a garden in and did do some good things. One of the things that really helped after 2018, I met with some people from Hamlin. And so we ended up going back up to Hamlin just to coach from 2019 through 22. And we're able to live on Lake Ponset in a very nice place. There's a pontoon boat there and a hot tub and some things like that. So it was kind of a vacation away.
Nice.
And so I got to do junior high football. I checked with the superintendent. He was okay with it. I don't know for sure if Jeff Sheehan really wanted me to be there or not, but the basketball coaches did. And so I did both girls and boys practices and games. So I got in 5 basketball games a night. So I got my picks on the on basketball at the same time. And I found out that I actually did a pretty good job with the junior high football. I could handle that pretty well. Matter of fact, this year's seniors at Hamlin, where my last year there were 8th graders. And so we had a pretty good run with those guys in junior high. And so that was a great deal, but then decided we should get back here. And when I came back here, then Beresford made an offer again to come back and help there. And so I've been there ever since I came back in 2022 and have been there now, still there this year.
You know, when I look at basketball, you were the assistant boys basketball coach when Yankton won the title in 2018. That's 7 football titles with Hamlin and Yankton, 2 boys basketball titles as an assistant coach at Hamlin and Yankton. I don't think I can name any other coach in the state who has anything similar to what you accomplished there, Arlen.
Well, I was fortunate, like I said, a lot of good coaches and a lot of good players. The other thing that came into play when you brought that up is that I also got to Hamlin in time to be an assistant coach in track for 3 state track titles, 1 in boys and 2 in girls. And so that was a nice compliment. And then my early years here, and I was a teen, one of the assistant coaches with the teen baseball team. And we were fortunate, I think it was in 96, to get to the state championship. We ended up getting beat 3-2 by Sioux Falls East. But then back then you could turn around and still challenge the age above you. So we went against the 15 and 16 year olds, managed to win the region and get into the state tournament with that. But our first round, we had to play Yankton, who smoked us, but it was kind of fun to be in 2 state tournaments. And that happened to be those same kids that were seniors in 99 were the kids that I coached back in baseball back then with Bill Conkling. So that was kind of a fun adventure too. So I've had a lot of good experiences with a lot of success, but because of the people and the athletes that I happen to be around, you know, I got to start coaching when there was a guy by the name of Mark Tesloff playing. and Mickey Holguin.
That helps.
Yeah, there was a lot of good things there. Later on, Justin Ingles, who was a longtime official also that played Chad Peckinpah, just a lot of really good athletes that I happened to get to be a part of their success. And then going to Yankton, you know, we can go through a long list of really good athletes. I remember the first coming here and looking at what the talent was. They, in 94, 95, the depth at Yankton was so good that a lot of those kids that hardly got on the field in 94, 95, if they'd have been 10 years later, could have probably been starters. But because of the depth that we had at that time, you know, my son gets here in, when he starts seventh grade football, we've been there a couple of years. There's 107 kids all for football his seventh grade year, you know. And so you could tell that the football fever was at Yankton. Max Hawk had established it. Minor kept it going, and hopefully I kept it going. So those are all positive things.
Arlen, did you ever have a chance to maybe leave the high school ranks and go coach college football?
I did have a couple offers. After 2002 here at Yankton, and that, because that team happened to be, there are a lot of really good athletes on that team. We actually had what I call buck power, and I'd put two Bobby Jones and Justin Frick in the backfield and brought in Vince Bader, who was 300 and some pounds, and Brian Philmeyer, who was 295, a junior, and we averaged 263 pounds, all 11 guys. And so after that year, I did have a few small college offers. But the interesting thing, I wouldn't have been teaching anything. I'd have just been the head coach. But I had to take a pay loss to go from Yankton to either of the schools that offered me. So, and at that time, where my kids were at and how we were enjoying Yankton, we decided, we sat down and my wife and I talked about it. And we included the kids a little bit, but decided that I was enjoying high school and knew I could keep having success here. And so we kind of stayed right where we were at. And we like Yankton. We've been retired and moved up to Ponce and then came back. And Yankton's of the church, the community, the people, it's all been a very good thing in the school.
One of the things you were known for was the team building activity. Before the season started, what were those and where did it come from?
Well, originally, I got a lot of that idea from Coach McElhinney out of Watertown. He used to take his kids up to the YMCA camp or Pickerel Lake in that area. I knew that. And so I kind of stole that idea and then started building on what we could do to become competitive at camp and yet do things. And the success we had at Hamlin, a lot of it came, we went to camps and I did great things by going to camp first. And then when I got to Yankton, though, they didn't allow that until later on. And finally convinced them to do that probably about 2014. It's probably the first time we could. And so we went to a camp in Nebraska. And of course, then they changed the rules and so forth, but there's still ways that you can do that. In 2018, we did that at Beersford. We did an early camp, and it worked really well. I know when you want to talk about that, guess who does that all the time? And in the Class 11 A, if you look at, or no, I got to get this right, 11 double A. Now, that is Steve Steele out of Pierre. They go to the river, and they spend the first 3 days there all the time. And of course, look at his success rate. So there's something to be said about that, and what you do and how you do it is, you know, that's kind of irrelevant. But a lot of things we do, I like the National Guard to come in. They're very disciplined, and they take them through a just kind of being disciplined. It's actually not anything with football, but it is a lot of learning and a good experience. I like playing games to draw kids together. We a lot of times like playing. Capture the Flag, different kind of games like that. We'd have some tug of war. We can do a three-person tug of war with all of you hang onto a small rope or a tall. You can also do a team tug of war where you put them in the, you know, on each side, and you can you know, depending on where you're at, you can have a water hole that they get drug into or not. And you know, we usually have a pool close by, so we used to like to take them to the pool for a little R&R, relaxing and doing some things, just things like that that can grow them together. You can blow up balloons and put their name in it and see how fast it takes them to find their name. The good teams find the balloon and then they hand it to the person that the name is in, and they get it done pretty fast. The teams that are more me instead of we, they slap balloons around until they find theirs, and that takes a lot longer. And you can have a good talk about that type of stuff. So that's part of the things I like to do.
What's the biggest challenge that today's high school football coaches face?
I think the biggest challenge is you got to communicate with the parents and the kids, and you need to all kind of be on the same page. It doesn't always work that way, but you need to be as open and as honest as you can. And they don't have to agree with what you're doing, but I think that's got to be a part of it. I think that's the more challenging. Before, they used to just, you had them. When I first started, I hardly ever talked to any parents. Now it's, you need to. And a couple other things that you, when you brought it up, that I really like doing, I started doing it at Yankton. Because of Crane, after coronation, I like to take the team through and walk through in the dark, walk through Crane, holding hands, and talk to them at an end zone, at the 50-yard line, at the end. And you can talk about the history of the school. You can talk about the history of the players that have been there, what you're really representing. And it's not about you. It's about us, the community. And I think that's a big thing. And then I like to have them write letters. Players write letters to parents, and even parents. This year, we even tried this, parents writing letters to kids. And I think it just makes a stronger connection for your program. And that they understand it's not just about football. It's about being a good human being and making good choices.
Arlen, you retired as a head football coach in 2017. You retired as the fourth winningest football coach in the state. Since then, Jeff Van Leur of Bridgewater Emory Ethan has passed you in those wins. In fact, you're still an assistant coach at Beersford, and you beat Jeff and Bridgewater Emory Ethan here just recently. But, you know, I know you're still involved with coaching, but, you know, now you're the fifth winningest coach in South Dakota history. But what are you most proud of your coaching career?
Just the success that the kids have had, in the sense that they become better people. They understand what it is to be a father, a loving husband, to do the right thing, the family. That's probably more important than any wins and losses. I didn't get in it for the wins and losses. I got in it to teach, and I think athletics is an extension of the classroom, and you got to do the right things. And if, I'll be honest, if you don't know what to do or don't know what is right, I used to say, go ask your grandma, she'll tell you. But now, privately, I would say, go find a Bible and find out what is right. And I think that's all part of making society a better place to live.
In Play with Craig Maddock is made possible by Horton in Britain, where smiling at work happens all the time. Apply now at HortonWW.com. If you like what you're hearing, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. It helps us gain new listeners. This has been In Play with me, Craig Maddock. This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.